Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
I'm excited to be starting a new sermon series today called Breathe. And if you caught it, I haven't been breathing very well this week because I got laryngitis. So this was a very ironic sermon series to try and launch this week because I was literally trying to write it as I'm breathing and then I'm coughing and then I'm trying to breathe. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, we're going to do a sermon series on breathe. Just let me breathe first, right? And so thankfully I'm breathing today. But if you were here last month or you missed it, last month was such a powerful month. We had a comedian here, Darren Streblo, who enjoyed Darren Streblo, if you were here for that. Wasn't that amazing? We packed the whole house out. We had people from all over the region coming. I think we had someone from like 3 hours away come, if I remember. And he was just a riot, but he also preached the gospel at the end. And it was what I'm still remembering the gospel that he preached because it was such a clear message of hope and just a real message. So that was amazing. We talked about the power of joy, right? And then Ryan Bastris was here. And normally we just get him in July, but he is a pastor who serves on our advisement team, and he got to minister. He did a marriage night, and then he talked about what it means to live in high places with God, right, with God's perspective, and not just get caught up in the chaos around us. And that was a very powerful time as well. So, and then I guess last weekend, we had so many amazing things happen in March. Last weekend, Pastor Rich and Linda, who also serve on our advisement team, were here, and they were talking about the history of revival and what it means to walk in maturity. So it was a very full last month. So I'm excited for what April has in store for us. And I am excited to be at the welcome party next week. That'll be fun. I'm sure we'll have something good to eat too. So this month we're doing our series on Breathe. And I think it's a very appropriate topic to start with Easter, because how many know there is no resurrection without breath, right? Has anyone ever felt like you just have to catch your breath and you don't really feel like you're living in the resurrection life Jesus died to give you because you're just out of breath? Or maybe you got a cough like I had this week a little bit and you just can't catch your breath because of that. God wants to give you breath this April. So if you feel like you've been trying to catch your breath, you feel like you're out of breath, or how many have ever felt like you've got the breath knocked out of you? Anybody felt like that, right? Something comes in life and it just hits you from nowhere and suddenly, whoa, you can't even breathe. And so if you feel like that's where you're at right now, this is the month for you. And if you don't feel like that's where you're at, invite someone who maybe it'll touch too, all right? Because we're gonna get really practical this month. People say you can't live without love, but I think oxygen is more important. It's very true. And what did one lung say to the other? We belong together. Yes. All right. I love this because at the center of creation is God's breath, right? It says his breath hovered over the water. And then it says that Jesus, or God, right, Trinity, breathed into the dust and formed man, right? He breathed into his nostrils. And so at the center of creation is breath, but then at the center of resurrection is also breath. And so you can't take breath out of the gospel. You can't take breath out of the Bible. And that's why we're looking at it. If you live to the average life expectancy of 78 years, and I will not have anyone raise their hand on who that is, you'll have breathed, let me see if I'm not the numbers guy, my husband is, but let me try this, 655,948,800 breaths in your life, on average, all right, if you're 78. Now, some of us are maybe older than 78, and many of us are younger than 78. That's a lot of breaths to breathe, right? But how many know that God wants it to be more than just an exchange of oxygen and all the other elements that you're breathing in and out, right? He wants it to be more than that. He gave you breath for a purpose, and his breath can transform you and can transform the circumstances that you feel overwhelmed by. Amen? It says in Genesis chapter 2 that then the Lord God formed a man from the dust and of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. That word breath there is so powerful. And the dust, that word dust means rubbish. And that's one of my favorite root words of the whole Bible, because it means that the only thing that is different than me and rubbish is God's breath. It says he breathed into the rubbish and out came man, out came humanity, out came you and me. And so whenever you feel a little worthless, just remember, no, I've got breath in me. I'm not rubbish. I've got God's worth. I've got God's value in me. Amen. You can go 4 to 14 days without water. Hopefully you don't, but you can. All right, no one try me. All the youth are out, thank God. But you can go up to 4 minutes only without air. Now, I didn't look at like the longest time someone has held their breath, because I know people try to beat records and all that, but we're not doing that today. But the point is, if you hold your breath past 4 minutes, unless you're maybe a professional trying to do it, you will most likely have serious damage to your body and most likely end in death, right? And some of us have been living in that fourth minute in our personal lives. We've been living in that fourth minute in our relationships or our finances or our health or our habits or our mindsets or our home life or our life choices. We've been living in that fourth minute, and God says, wait a second, let's go back to third day resurrection this month. Amen? So we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to look at the story of Easter through God's breath. So we're going to be basically mostly in Matthew 26. If you got your Bible, you can open up to that. We're about to do the fastest version of the story of Easter you have ever heard, but maybe you've never heard the story of Easter. And so I encourage you to read it today. It's obviously in multiple Gospels, but in Matthew 26 is a great one to read. So first, we're going to look at God's last breath. And if you don't know that God breathes again, that would be a very hopeless point in a sermon, wouldn't it? God's last breath. But how many know that when God breathed his last, the people around him didn't really get the clue that he was going to breathe it again, right? So let's go back in time and just look at this. So in Matthew 26, it starts out by Jesus telling his disciples that he'll be crucified. They had really bad memory. Anyone looked at the disciples and just been like, how bad a memory did they need? They needed one of those like brain elevate pills or something to get their brain working. But then I look at myself and I think, wow, how often have I forgotten the promises of God that I should be remembering, right? Then it goes on, and Judas, who is one of the 12 disciples, betrays Jesus. Then there's the Last Supper and the First Communion. I told you this is going to go real fast. Then Jesus is praying in the garden, and he sweats blood because he is so stressed. And he says, not my will, but yours be done. And then the disciples fall asleep. How would you like to be one of those disciples? And for all of history, you've got a legacy of falling asleep in the garden. Wouldn't that just be the worst? I don't know. I thought that would be the worst. Jesus is then betrayed by Judas and is arrested. And then he is sentenced to hang as a criminal, even though he did not do anything wrong. He was mocked, he was taunted, he was stripped, a crown of thorns was put on his head, he was whipped, he was beaten, and he was nailed to a cross between two criminals, and everyone mocked him. And that is where we find the scripture that I'm going to read here. It's in Matthew 27, verse 45. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me? And he's actually quoting Psalm 22. And then in Mark 15, it goes on and says, right afterwards in the story, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. We get to be in a relationship with a God who knows what it's like to breathe his last. Isn't that incredible? That means that when you and I breathe our last, we're going to be with a God who knows what we just went through to breathe our last. Amen. I don't know why, but that really hit me this week, because has anyone ever been afraid of dying? I don't know. I've always had a fear of dying, and I've been saved since I was like 3. So, I mean, technically I shouldn't be afraid of dying, but I used to say the sinner's prayer like every time. And there was one time when I was on an airplane and I hit turbulence. We were in a thunderstorm and it was over Philadelphia. And I thought I was going to die. I think I was already a pastor even. And I was definitely saved. Let's just put it out there. And we start dropping. And the bags are falling out. I've done a lot of travel, so I've never had this happen. You know, the suitcases are literally falling out of the overheads. And we're dropping. And I just am saying the sinner's prayer over and over and over again. I'm like, no, wait a second. Get a grasp, Pastor. But sometimes the fear of the unknown, right? It's real. It's real. Whether it's death for you or it's something else, it's very real. And guess what? We're all going to face it one day unless Jesus comes back first. But how comforting it is to know that we serve a God and we're in relationship with a God who already breathed his last. So when I breathe my last, I can just meet him there. Isn't that powerful? Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that incredible? Some of us need to be reminded that when Jesus breathed his last, he cut off the airflow of the enemy in your life. Right? He didn't just breathe his last so that we would have comfort that when we breathe our last, we can be with him. He breathed his last, and when that happened, the airflow of sin stopped when we get born again. He breathed his last in your addiction. He breathed his last in any hidden issue that you're struggling with. He breathed his last in any dysfunction. He breathed his last in any messy situation that you brought here this morning. What does that mean? It means that he removed the power of sin over our lives. Amen? Now, if I hold my breath for more than 4 minutes, I'm going to get damage, right? We already decided that. I will not be doing a demonstration. We are a creative church, but we're not that creative. But it doesn't take much faith, right? It's scientific. It's reality. How many know that when Jesus breathed his final breath on the cross, he caused permanent damage to the enemy over your life? It doesn't take much faith. It is just scientific reality. Amen? Can we just thank God together for just a second? Thank you, Jesus. Now, Jesus is asking you today, will you meet him in the exhale? Will you meet him in the final breath? Will you meet him in the surrender today? How many know you cannot have resurrection if you don't have a final breath? Some of us have been trying to live in the life God has given us freely that we have access to through Jesus, but we haven't met Jesus in the final breath of surrender of our lives. Today is a day to surrender your life to Jesus and meet him in that final breath, so that you can then breathe again for the first time, born again in him. Amen? So what is something you're holding on to today that you can release to him so that you can be resurrected? Maybe it's someone you need to forgive. Maybe it's an addiction and God wants to set you free or get you in the process of healing. Maybe it's a trauma that you've been through and God wants to touch your life and he wants to start you on that journey of healing. Whatever it is, today is a day of surrender. What if your answered prayers are on the other side of the exhale, of the surrender? How many know you cannot breathe in if you do not breathe out first, right? It just does not work. I feel like probably a toddler has tried it, right? They're trying to breathe in, but they haven't breathed out. You have to let something out to let something in. And we don't want to be like Jesus and the inn at the beginning of Jesus' life, where the inn was full and there was no room for Jesus. Because Jesus will find the empty place. He's attracted to empty things. He was attracted to the empty manger. He was attracted to the empty wine barrels, right? He's attracted to an empty cross. And he's attracted to an empty tomb. And he's attracted to empty hearts that have said yes to surrender to him. That have said, I'll meet you in the exhale, God. I'll meet you in the surrender so that then I can breathe you in. Are you following this morning? Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied, everyone say emptied, himself by taking the form of a bondservant. And I looked up what bondservant means because we don't usually use that word anymore, thank God. And it means no pay, right? And being born in the likeness of men. That word empty, the root word for it means ineffective. Ineffective. So this is saying, but he became ineffective, taking the form of a servant. In other words, when we surrender to God, we're saying, I'm ineffective without you. My marriage is ineffective without you. My habits and my thoughts are ineffective without you. My workplace is ineffective without you. My life is ineffective without you. It's a way of saying I surrender. And if Jesus said, I'm ineffective without the Father, right? Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Then how could we possibly think that we don't need to become like servants and to become aware of our ineffectiveness without Jesus? Amen? At the end of Jesus' assignment before the cross, he emptied his physical body, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. So today's question is, will you surrender in the exhale with God and meet him in the final breath? Number two, when God stopped breathing, these points are real great. Do not misquote me on Facebook, all right? When God stopped breathing, Matthew 27, we're still there. At that moment, which is the moment he breathed his last, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. This is my favorite part of the resurrection story outside of Jesus, because listen to this. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Yeah. What? They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection. Do you know what that means? That for an entire day, there was the biggest massive party in the cemetery down the road because they were waiting for Jesus to walk out of the tomb. I was talking with my husband last night, and he was like, wait, what? I was like, yeah, it's a graveyard party, right? The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that happened. They said, this man truly was the Son of God. So who here has ever had a dream or a vision and then seen somebody else get breakthrough in it? And you're like, hey, wait a minute. Anybody? I have literally, not because I was angry at them, but I have literally blocked people on Facebook because, like, I cannot get on here and see you living out my prayer request every day. I just can't do it. God bless you, but I can't. I don't have the strength to do it, right? Being real. Well, Jesus knows exactly what this is like because while he is not resurrected yet, there are godly men and women that are having a party in a graveyard, right? Isn't that incredible? But what the other thing is really amazing is it says that the Roman officer said this man was truly the Son of God before he was resurrected. So how we respond to someone else's miracle is just as much a witness as how we respond to our own miracle. Right? In James 3, it says confusion and evil, it says like lots of evil actually, are wherever envy is. So second day, or when God stops breathing, is a good moment to stop and check your heart. Are you envious of anybody else's breakthrough? That's a hard one. That's a hard pill to swallow, all right? But I'm with you right there. Before Jesus' resurrection, godly men and women were resurrected, and God's presence that was separated from humanity in the temple became accessible. Isn't that amazing? Everybody wants their strength renewed, but nobody likes how to get it, right? In Isaiah, it says, but those who wait or hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. In order to get God's strength, it says we need to wait and we need to hope. We need to meet God when he stopped breathing. In other words, we need to meet God in the contradiction. Right? We surrender to him, and then sometimes life looks a little contradicting, and it feels like that second day. It feels like when God stopped breathing on earth for a minute. But that's when strength comes. That word strength, or not, excuse me, not strength, that word weight actually means to bind together or gather together. So what does that mean? It means that what we gather together, what we bind together, what we think about, while we're waiting for God to move will determine if we actually have strength to walk through into the breakthrough. You following? What you bind yourself to, what you think about, what you look at, what you talk about, who you're around and brainstorming about while you're waiting will determine whether your strength is renewed or not after you surrender to him. In 3 days, the disciples were so focused on what they thought God wasn't doing. I guess it was really the second day, not 3 days. But in the second day, they were so focused on what God wasn't doing that they missed what God was doing. And after we surrender to God, maybe it's our entire life, maybe it's a situation, whatever's on your mind that you're like, I don't want to surrender that. That's probably what it is, right? When we surrender that, there is an opportunity and a choice to then either focus on what God is doing or focus on what we don't think God is doing. And again, what we bind ourselves to, what we gather together, will determine whether we have strength or not. All right? So the question on the second day, the question when God stops breathing is, what are you binding yourself to? What are you gathering together? What thoughts are you gathering together? What words are you gathering together while you are waiting in what might seem to be a little bit of a contradiction in your life? And the last point is God's first breath again. I love that. God's first breath again. Do you know you have a first breath again if you're born again in Jesus? Amen. You have a first breath again. So Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. I thought our dancers, the costumes kind of looked like the angel costumes with the lightning. You still have the sparkle, right? In their fright, the woman bowed down with her faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." So God's first breath asks the question, where are you looking for God? Where are you looking for God? And I wanted to read a lyric. I'm reading my notes a little bit more than normal, but I wanted to read a lyric here. I'm not going to sing it because I don't think we need that this morning, but it's by a guy named Blessing Offer. I guess. I don't know if you've heard of him. I think he was on American Idol or something. I'm not sure. But I found him on Spotify, and he's got a beautiful voice, and some of his songs are really powerful. And this song is called Looking for God, and it says, "I've been looking for God in the strangest places, looking for God in the back streets. It's like we forgot who's friends with the wasted, left behind in the alleys. I've been looking for God because he's out there, close to the pain, and he's not scared. It's everywhere that they said it's not. I've been looking for God." That's what God's first breath asks us. Where are you looking for God? Genesis 1:2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." That word spirit is the same word for breath. So we have a God who wants to be so close to us that Holy Spirit is ruach in Hebrew, and that's actually breath. He wants to be closer than our breath. Isn't that incredible? And the cross and the resurrection tell a story of a God who wants to be so close in relationship to us that he's like our very breath. How many think about breathing in and breathing out? I mean, how about like every time? If you do, we can pray for you. If anyone suffers from anxiety, sometimes you do. You're like, I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out, right? And that's a real thing. But that's not what I'm talking about here. We usually breathe in and breathe out without thinking about it because we're designed to, right? And the oxygen and the air we take in and take out, when I breathe out, I'm not panicking that I won't have enough air to breathe in unless I'm in a small enclosed space because I'm claustrophobic, right? But when we breathe out, we just trust God. We're going to be able to breathe in, right? We just trust our world. It's how the world works. Well, there is a place of trust that comes when we can just surrender to God and we just know that he's going to be there closer than our breath. He's going to be in that situation closer than our breath. It's not up for debate. It doesn't take much faith. It's just reality. He is closer than our breath. Who needs a close hope this morning? Who needs a close joy? Who needs a close healing and a close love and a close forgiveness and a close God that is with us? Amen? There are a lot of people that are searching for answers right now, and they're searching for love, they're searching for truth, but we have a God that wants to be so close with us that the word breath is used to actually describe him. Isn't that amazing? So I'm here to remind you today that we have 24 access to God's breath. My favorite name of God is Emmanuel, God with us. I love that name because that name is what separates Jesus and God and Christianity from anybody else, because we have a God who is alive. He's not dead, and he is breathing his life, and he is the source of life. Amen. Luke 24 says, while they were still talking about this, this is the disciples, Jesus himself stood among them. And one of the books says he actually like walked through the wall. How many know that would be very phenomenal, right? There is no church, you know, the churches with like the big LED screens, all these things. Nobody can replicate Jesus walking through the wall. Jesus is still more high def. He said to them, peace be with you. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. I love this because that word ghost is actually the same word that is used when Jesus is on the cross, and it says he breathed his last. One translation actually says he gave up his ghost. And I don't mean that in a weird way, but that word breath and that word ghost is the same in the Bible in the original language. And I love this because he's saying a ghost does not have flesh and bones. So what is he saying here? He's saying that even though Jesus is our source and he is our breath, he is a lot more than just breath. How many know that Jesus became flesh and he made his dwelling among us? And we have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth, right? And he's coming back again. I think sometimes we focus so much on God being breath, especially in a spirit-filled church, that we're like, you know, he's breath, he's here, he's there. Do you feel him? How's he moving? But we need to also center ourselves on the truth that Jesus is coming back, and he is flesh and bones, and he's going to ride on the clouds, and he's coming back. And maybe you have a different view of, like, how is he coming back, when he's coming back? I don't know, but he's coming back. And I want to be with him when he comes back. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet? When Jesus' first breath happened again, when God breathed for the first time again, he did it to remind us that he is more than just breath. He is flesh and bones, and he lived among us, and he's coming back again. Philippians 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Revelation 1, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Isn't that incredible? I don't think we talk about Jesus coming back enough. You think Easter is a good day. How about when he returns? It's going to be amazing, right? And we have so much to do, so much to prepare, and so many lives to be saved still, right? I want to close with this scripture, John 20. Peace be with you. And when he said this is Jesus still with his disciples, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. The first time we actually see that it's written that Jesus breathed, I'm not saying he didn't breathe before this, but it says it right here, is that he breathed on his disciples during the Great Commission, and he breathed and said, receive Holy Spirit. God's first breath says, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. Let me breathe on you. Let me give you my spirit. Amen. The most powerful acts of God happened around breath. In creation, God breathed dust to form humanity, right? In redemption, through Jesus, his last breath on the cross. In resurrection, Jesus' first breath again. And in the Great Commission, he breathed on his disciples. And he's showing us that his breath can live inside of us today. Amen. So I just want to pray today. Jesus, I thank you for the power of your breath. And God, we don't take it for granted that there was a time when you breathed your last. And then there was a time when you didn't breathe on earth. And then there was a time when you breathed your first again. And then there was a time when you breathed on your disciples. And Jesus, we honor your breath. God, resurrect us. Teach us how to surrender our lives to you, God. I just bless every area in your life today that you are struggling and fighting in to meet God's surrender in his exhale. I bless every area of weakness and contradiction to experience God's strength in the waiting. And I bless every area of your life to thrive and to have a new beginning with God closer than your breath. Jesus, show us how to release your breath in our lives this month. Show us how to catch our breath, how to receive your healing and breakthrough when we feel like our breath has been knocked out of us, because we serve a God who became flesh, who knows the pain and the suffering that we are going through, and who can meet us in the resurrection and gave us 24/7 access to that resurrection source of life in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.